This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. We're coming on April, and we just had our wonderful Cabin Fever Reliever celebrating local musical artists, and that seems to coincide many years in a row now with the coming on of another fun musical event. I've got Mark Gordon in the studio with me today. Mark, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Leo, and it was a fantastic show you guys had. Really, really good.
Well, Kim Leon knocked yourself out, and the whole fundraising event planning crew, I can't thank them enough, Mark. I'm thinking that you may be almost like a one-man production crew for your United Church function that we're here to talk about today. I salute anyone who has to plan an event like this. I know that yours, you say, kind of runs itself like clockwork, but I'm sure it's plenty of work to do.
Yeah, well, we actually have, you know, I kind of spearheaded, but there's Thug in particular. I don't think we could do the show without Thug because they provide all the sound and the expertise to get the sound going. And
it's not a minor detail, and we understand that, too, because in the last couple of years, we've worked with a fellow named Tim Lutgeb out of Duluth who has made things run very smoothly for us and taken a lot of the load off of our shoulders, so... We are talking about now coming up this next Sunday, Music to Feed the Soul, right, Mark?
Yep, April 6th at 3 o'clock at the United Church in Two Harbors.
3 o'clock at the United Church, which is at?
Well, it's 531 3rd Avenue, so it's right next to the library.
Yeah, and, beautiful stone building.
Yep.
Every year I think we try to ruminate and remember, what's the history of this event? How did it get started, or was it before your time?
Yeah.
How does it carry on?
Well, it got started, I think, right around 2006 or 7, probably 2007. And and at that time, it was just it was a fundraiser for the food shelf, and it consisted of mostly, I think, just people from our church and, you know, some local church choirs just coming in and doing some singing. We had bell ringing and that sort of thing. And then Jerry Swartstrom, I believe, was kind of in charge of it at that time. And then she, maybe 2009 or something like that, turned it over to me. And then we just sort of organically started growing it to more like local talent having more acoustic performances. And it just started to take on kind of a life of its own.
So, and there was probably a word of mouth and more people realized they would want to take part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of folks out there, a lot of really good musicians around here, of course, and most of them are happy to help out the food shelf. So it's not a real difficult sell when I approach a musician to say, would you like to support the food shelf and come in and do a couple songs? And I don't think I've ever flatly been turned down. You know, there's been scheduling conflicts and that sort of thing. But by and large, people are happy to come up, sing a couple songs.
As we've found, a Sunday afternoon is a little less pressure on musicians who are looking for paying gigs on the weekends. By Sunday afternoon, they might have a little more time.
Right.
And the general formula is that you have a number of musicians. I don't know if you have a length of the show in mind, but everybody is more or less doing two tunes?
Yeah, usually I have about 10 acts, and I try to keep it at about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And so most folks will come in and do two tunes. There's a couple that will do just one, but two. And they can pick whatever they want.
I was just going to ask if you ask them if they're doing a 12-minute jam.
Yeah. No, and I just tell them, you know, just keep in mind you're going to be in a church. But other than that, that's the parameters.
Right. Well, it is a worship space that has really fine acoustics. Isn't that one of the selling points?
United Church has great acoustics. Yeah. And it's a very intimate, you know, setting. You know, there's not a bad seat in the house.
What's the capacity of that room, roughly, with standing room only against the back?
Yeah, I would say somewhere around 100, probably.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's a free will event? There's not a cost of admission?
It's a free will event. Absolutely come in and just enjoy the music. It is a fundraiser, and so there'll be a basket, you know, at the door, and we ask if, you know, whatever you feel like you can contribute. Throw something in the basket and come in and enjoy the music.
And when you do the math, does it seem like people are pretty generous at such an event?
Yes, it's amazing. We typically get anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000.
Wow. That is wonderful to hear. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose, and we really should talk about the main reason for the event in terms of the, who you're supporting being the food shelf. Mm-hmm. We're in a time of some transitions here. I know I've heard that your congregation has a new pastor, and I hear there's transition in play at the food shelf as
Yeah. So, yeah, we have Pastor Joe. Joe is our new pastor, Coffin Langdon, and she is absolutely fantastic. We're just thrilled to have her, and she'll be saying a few words to kick off the concert, and so there'd be a chance to come and meet her. And then the food shelf is in between directors at the moment as well, and so there'll be some board members there to help support the concert and talk a little bit about the food shelf.
Okay. Yep. And in the meantime, there's an interim party helping the
Yes, one of the board members is taken over as director, and as they do their search.
And you were mentioning to me beforehand that because of this transition, you don't have maybe some of the fascinating kind of look back at 2024 with the, or whatever it would be called, the participation rate at the food shelf is. Yep. I know last year we talked about how significantly on the rise it was, and you suspect the same for this is still ongoing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we don't have the actual statistics right now, but just from talking to them, you know, they're going to break records again this year just like they did last year. And all you have to do is look out there and see how, you know, grocery prices are still going up and gas prices are still going up. And so just those two things alone puts just that much more pressure on families who have food insecurity, which are a lot of families in Lake County, I got to say.
Yeah, I see that as the case, too. We hear about layoffs that are of steel workers at the mines on the range, and currently it's not immediately impacting our North Shore arm of that industry, but times are tough in this town because, as you were mentioning to me, there are businesses that are affected by layoffs at the mines, and tells us that any resource extraction industry with demand going up and down could be a real yo-yo and with layoffs possible.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And it would be a hard time to just being, you know, running a business and there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And so, yeah, it just all that kind of adds up to putting more pressure on families and trying to make decisions on do I get gas so I can get to work or, you know, do I go to the grocery store?
And those pressures are not always in the visible prices that we see at the pump or the supermarket. They're also the cost of maintaining your household. If you're like me, you've seen your insurance rates go through the roof, the literal roof of your house.
Yep, I noticed that this year. And so, you know, and the thing to really keep in mind here is these are families, the last thing they want to do is go to a food shelf. That's the last thing they want to do, you know.
Right.
But when you have kids that you're trying to feed and you have to do what you have to do, you know, to put food on the table. And we're just very blessed to have a really good food shelf in our account. And they're serving more and more people every year. And so we just feel like the community has been very generous in the past in helping support the food shelf. And we want to continue that.
And do you know if there's anything at play where the sources of funding that allow the Second Harvest of the world and the other sourcing entities that, you know, free up food for food shelves? Is there a challenge there, federal funding that might be in?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there's definitely
going away.
Yes, there's definitely challenges there. And I do know, like at Second Harvest, it used to be, you know, I used to do the run to Second Harvest. And we would go there and you would get a big cart, you know, the size of, and just bring pallets of food out. And that's no longer like that. So it's the distribution is more limited and more expensive too, you know. So, and as food prices go up, the grocery stores have to make decisions about how much produce they buy and try to keep sharper margins. And so the actual amount of extra food that we would get from local grocery stores has gone down as well. So we can't, like Super One is very generous, but they don't have as much to give away, you know what I mean, as they have
because,
in the past.
Because supermarkets in general run on narrow margins.
Yes.
They see a benefit in not having as much what they call shrinkage.
Yep. And I want to be clear, you know, like Quick Trip and Super One have been very big supporters, and they still are big supporters.
Still happening, but it's getting a little
tighter
their end.
It's just different, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mark, it does give me pause to think about a trend like this continuing such that I might be thinking about children who wind up needing to use the food shelf through their childhood, puberty, and, and adulthood. And it just gives me pause. I don't know whether you think about that sometimes.
Because,
as you said, people do not want to report into the food shelf saying, I need your services, but you got to feed your kids.
Yep. And there, you know, there's a situation at Christmas time that a family, a mother, called the director and just said, you know, this was like totally off hours and not anywhere near distribution day, and just said, is there anything you can do? I have no food
right now
for my family right now for Christmas.
Yeah.
And she said, meet me down at the food shelf and I'll hook you up with some food. And she did. So that was a mother who was just very, very grateful to have that.
Yeah. Wow. So why don't we talk about some of the people that are coming out to play for the crowd that'll show up at United Church this Sunday. It's April 6th. Do I have that date right, Mark?
Yep, April 6th at 3 o'clock and at the United Church. And I'm really excited about the lineup this year. We have some new people and some folks that have played in the past, but not for a few years. So we have a new band called Shore Thing, and they play around the area. They're new to us. They're not new to the area. Jim Madison, who has played off and on over the years, but he's a
phenomenal guitarist.
He is a phenomenal guitarist. Of course, Thug is our, you know, standby. They kick it off every year, and they help us with the sound and all that. Lighthouse Lyrics, which is a cappella women's group.
Okay.
And they've actually gone the last couple of years. There's a band called Generations, and it's mostly a basement band that they get together. There's like an age span. That's why they call it Generations.
Crossing the generations. Not a generation gap. Okay,
right,
wonderful.
Right. And they're really good. Bill Hermanson is part of that group. And he's a member of our church. Paul Dahlin, who is, you know, a world-renowned fiddle.
Oh, indeed.
Yep. And so he'll be there with some friends. And then there's a new one called Gospel Jam. And if you've ever been to one of our Third Friday suppers, they typically are there playing on our Third Friday community supper. And it's a group of local bluegrass folks, and they mostly do gospel music, and they're really quite good.
I'm a fan of bluegrass gospel, and I hadn't taken in any of the dinners, Mark. Thanks you for putting a spin on that for me.
Yep, and then Scott Radke and Bonnie Hundraiser, who have been there in the past, and they're just phenomenal, too. And then Dan Goodnow, who is my father-in-law, he's been playing gospel music, you know, for 60 years. He started out serenading his daughters, and he usually comes up and does a tune every year, too. And for him, he waits for this all year because he wants to support the food shelf, and he just thinks this is a great event, and he's a
perfect example of a special volunteer opportunity.
Yep. And then I want to make sure I mention Jim Holbeck as well, who is a pretty well-known
musician. A stalwart of the local scene for a long time.
Yep. And I don't know if he'll do it again, but he was here, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and he did the most amazing rendition of Maria I've ever heard. So anyway, I'm excited to have him back too.
Fantastic. So, Mark, we're going to have some snow in the middle of the week, but you should be all fine by Sunday, right?
Yeah, boy, I hope so.
Assuming no follow-up aftershock snowstorm.
Yep. Well, it's supposed to be a nice weekend. I've been looking already. Last year we had to cancel and then reschedule.
We've done that once with cabin fever. Mm-hmm. No fun.
And so, it looks like it's going to be a nice weekend, and we won't have to worry
about
that.
Well, we're rooting for it to be great. I mean, we're going to dance some tricky substitutions in the middle of our broadcast week. But hopefully, you won't be out grooming the trail necessarily this weekend. Mark is also involved with maintaining our city ski trail. And was it a good year? How would you rate it? Off and on again?
Very off and on. I think maybe we only groomed like 5 times or something like that.
Okay.
I would say that there was a period of a few weeks there where the trail was pretty primo.
I got a couple of skis in on it, and then we had some warming trends, and then when I came back, it was imperfect skiing, but way better than not skiing.
Right, and we'll just have to see. I mean, we could groom after this one. The base is pretty much all gone now, and so we just have to see. But
well, it's April skiing. That's anybody's guess. If you have a 55-degree day, you're done again.
Right.
And you can see, folks, that Mark, in addition to being the captain of the Amicus, has a lot of irons in the fire in town, and we'll have to have you back and talk trails because you have exciting.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely want to talk about that too. Yep. Yep. Some really fun trail stuff.
Well, we'll catch you before next winter, I think, Mark, and talk about that. Indeed, thanks for joining us on KTWH today.
Yeah, well, thanks, Leo, for having me. I always enjoy coming.
Absolutely, and I'm sure Mark would like to see you there at Music to Feed the Soul this coming Sunday.
Yes, come and check it out. It's going to be a great concert for a great cause.
Thank you, Mark. This is Leo for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.